look forward to those sessions. Amen. And then, for Saturday, Sister Given reminded us, Brother Randy's getting married here at 6 o'clock. So if you could come and join them, I know that would be a very special time. Amen. And then Sunday, we're going to just have church around here. Amen. We're getting good at that with the help of the Lord. Amen. Practice makes perfect, so let's keep practicing. Amen. And so we look forward to a great time in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for the cards and the gifts at Christmas time. Thank you for that. Do ask you to pray for my wife. She's better, but still healing here tonight. She's having a lot of the whatever it is. Amen. I call it epiglottitis. I don't know what it really is. But that's not real scientific, but it kind of gets the thought across. It's just bad. Amen. So, keep her in your prayers. And we appreciate it. All right, let's stand together tonight. Amen. Upper Room Youth, if you'd like to head on over to your class, kids can. Amen. You can go ahead and head to your class. Praise the Lord. Songwriter said it's a good life living for the Lord. And I wholeheartedly agree with that statement tonight. It's a good life living for the Lord. Sometimes I'm supposed people think that, you know, preachers live pretty sheltered lives. Well, in one sense we do. In another sense we don't. Amen. We get to hear a whole lot of stuff that some things you may have never even heard of. Amen. And so we get to help people with all kinds of situations in their lives. You see, everybody's got in-laws, outlaws, all that kind of stuff we have to deal with. Life's interesting, isn't it? So, and I just reiterate again, it's a good life living for the Lord. Most Christians that I deal with, really, you know, their problems are not so bad. But you try to deal with some folks that are coming from a worldly background, it's amazing how tangled things can get. Amen. And it's a sad, sad world out there. So it's just a good life living for the Lord. I'm glad that I know Him. How about you? Well, tonight we're going to talk about taking out the trash. Anybody ever do that when you were a kid? Was that ever your... That was my job. We lived out in the country, and we had a 55-gallon barrel. And my job was to take out the trash and burn the trash. I kind of liked that job. It was better than washing dishes or drying dishes or sweeping or mopping. And guess what? I still get to do that job around my house. There's just something about ladies, they just don't like taking out the trash. Amen. Of all the jobs that I hear complained about around the church, the one that I hear most complained about is taking out the trash. People just don't like to take out the trash. Well, that's really true. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight, taking out the trash. Going to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Again, reading with verse number 6 down through verse number 11. Now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. If all these things happened unto them, for ensamples are examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. He lives in Sierra Madre, California. His name is Kevin. Kevin is like most other children and young people in a lot of ways, but he has one thing that makes him different. Kevin has a fixation and a fascination with trash. Ever since he was a little boy, 2 years old, he loved to play in the trash. Other kids have pictures of baseball players and football players, but Kevin has pictures of trash trucks and trash containers. He collects them. When somebody goes out of the United States to visit, he always asks them, would you bring back a picture of the trash trucks? He loves trash. He's fascinated with trash. When they went to SeaWorld, they have pictures of Kevin. Everybody else is watching the dolphins and the sharks. He's just fascinated with all the trash cans in the amusement park. He just loves trash. He just has a fascination. It's his greatest joy is to play in trash. He loves it. Now, his mom said this. She said, you have no idea what it's like having a child who has a passion for trash. But I think God does. I think God understands that. Because some of his children, well, let me rephrase that. Let me just say, his children have a fascination for trash. In one way or another, we all struggle with it. Oh, we may not want to admit that quite so readily, but we do. We have to deal with trashy talk. We do. Trashy jokes. Trashy conversation. We have to deal with just the filth of the world. It's evident all around us. But it's one thing to have trash on the outside, but it's another thing to bring trash home with you. The trash of the world can easily be found as close as a radio or a television set or a computer screen. The trash of the world is just there in our homes. It's as close as our telephone. The trash of the world, we just can't get away from it. It's close by. But what we must do is not let the trash of the world into our hearts. And if it's in our home, we need to keep it away as best we can from ourselves and from our children. The inventor of the television said he watched it go from its infancy to adultery. There's nothing in the world that has brought more damage to the culture and the morals of the United States of America than the television set. In its years of influence, and why not? You know, it's the greatest preacher of the 20th century and 21st century. It really is. More people have spent more hours in front of a television set than they ever did sitting in a pew of a church or in a Sunday school class. And you hear me. It does have a message. And it's a message that's on purpose. It's not there to convert you to Jesus Christ. It's there to take you away from Jesus Christ. It is there not to train your mind to morality, but to promote immorality. And anybody that has observed its changes through the years knows exactly what I'm talking about. Brother Marshall made a very interesting statement the other day. He said, we were against television in the 50s when it was Leave It with Beaver. Now some people think it's all right when it's Sex in the City. Looks to me like we're going the wrong direction. How about you? Amen. So we got to watch the trash, folks. I've heard people say, somebody told me one time, well, it's just the things I have to deal with in the world every day. Yeah, but there's a difference. Yes, I have to deal with that every day when I go outside the home, but I don't have to have it in my house. I don't have to have it in my home. I can keep it on the outside. I can't help it. My kids are exposed to immorality and the trash on the outside, but I can help what they're exposed to in my home. And so we've got to be careful, folks, about allowing trash into our homes and bringing it in. And that's what we've got to be so very careful about. You ever heard that saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy? Amen. That's okay, because when you're country, you're just country, and it's okay. Amen. I'm so thankful, and I mean that. I'm very thankful for my country roots. Amen. I grew up in the country, and I'm glad I did. There's a lot of good things that can be said about growing up there. That was sort of like Israel. Israel left Egypt, but Egypt never left Israel. It's very difficult for me to imagine what the Israelites missed. I mean, they had great leadership. God was their leader. And yet, what did they leave in Egypt? They had slave masters and taskmasters that used whips and demanded them and corrected them and beat them. And yet, they want to go back there. You know, I can understand that, I suppose, to some degree, because in a spiritual application, some people do that very thing, don't they? Some people forget what the Lord delivered them from. The Scripture makes it very plain. It said, going back like a dog to its vomit. Well, that's gross, isn't it? You ever watch a dog do that? Or a hog to its wallow. It's very graphic language. But you know, when God delivers us from things and so mercifully takes us out of that, yet if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves drifting back that direction again. See, Egypt was still in Israel's heart, even though God had delivered Israel out of Egypt. They still had a desire and to get back that direction and to do some of those things that God had taken them out of. It's difficult to understand that sometimes, but that's exactly what was happening to Israel. Paul, in the book of Corinthians here where we read, he goes back in history and starts digging through Israel's trash can just a little bit. And he starts revealing to us in these verses some of the things that Israel had to deal with. One of the things was they had to deal with trashy desires. Verse number 6, the Bible says that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You know what they lusted for? One of the things that really amazes me, their mouths were filled with angel food. Manna from heaven, cooked in heaven's oven and sent daily to Israel, fresh every morning. But you know what they griped about? They didn't have any onions and leeks and cucumbers and melons. Slave food. They wanted slave food. They had heavenly food. They had angel food. But their taste buds wanted something different. If we're not careful, folks, we can find ourselves in the same boat, can't we? Amen. I've heard people, you know, they come out of the world, but somehow the world never gets out of them. And they want to listen to the same stuff they listened to before. And they want to watch the same things they watched before. And they want to read the same things they read before. And they want to do the same things they did before. And they want to go to the same places they went before. When you come to Jesus Christ and He delivers you out of the world, folks, there's got to be a change in your life. You've got to take you out the trash. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you dress. It'll change the things that you listen to and the things that you watch. It'll change everything about you. So it's time to take out the trash and get rid of trashy desires. The next thing that Israel dealt with was trashy worship. Verse number 7 says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Amen. And they got themselves in trouble. It does concern me a little bit sometimes when I see people that are more interested in play than they are working. Now, playing has its place. I understand entertainment. I understand amusement. I understand the need for such things. I'm not against that entirely. But there is a time to work as well as a time to play. Amen. And some people just want it to be play and entertainment all the time. You know, somebody, I was in a church in Idaho on Sunday morning in a Sunday school lesson. And a guy made a point I've never forgotten. I don't remember his name, but I remember what he said. He said the word amusement. You ever thought about what that word means? The word muse is its foundation. The word muse means to think, to contemplate. When you put an A on the front of it, amuse, the A makes it a negative. So it means not to think and not to contemplate. So when you're being amused, you're not thinking. You turn your thinking off. You turn your brain off. You put everything in neutral. Amen. And so that's what amusement is. It's something that makes you where you don't really think. Amen. And too much of that can be dangerous, you know. Amen. If you live your life in neutral, you're not going anywhere. Amen. No matter what you think and how good a time you're having, you're just not going anywhere. Amen. And so amusement has its place. But we have to be careful about amusements. You know what I'm talking about today? Amen. We live in a world where it's almost full-time entertainment. My wife is a school teacher. And the children are so used to being entertained. Even in our Sunday school classes, people are used to being entertained. People are used to sitting down in front of a television and that's got all the colors and all the sounds and all of the excitement and all the glitz and all the glamour. And when they come to Sunday school, it's entertain me, teacher. Entertain me, preacher. Can't you compete with Hollywood? No, our goal's different. Here, we like for you to think. I said, here, we like for you to think. We want you to think. We want to get you in a habit of thinking. The Apostle Paul said of a certain group of brethren, the Bereans, he said they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they searched the Word to see if what he was telling them was the truth. You know, it's not an insult to the preacher when you check out what he says to see if it's right or not. That won't hurt my feelings. Amen. As long as you can keep a good attitude and I can keep a good attitude and we have the right spirit, that's a good thing. I've had people point things out to me before that I didn't know. And I'm glad they did. It helped me to learn something. Amen. You know, sometimes we simply say what we've been taught and we don't see things. And then all of a sudden, someone that doesn't have that particular blind spot can see something that you can't see or something that I can't see. And that's a good thing. Amen. But please don't be a smart aleck about it. Didn't you know that, preacher? All these years you've been studying and you don't know that? Well, sorry, somehow overlooked it. Forgive me. I'll do better next time. Amen. And so, but we have to be careful about just getting in an entertainment mode. We get used to being entertained. That's our appetite. And it concerns me. I don't say much about this, but it concerns me when people get too overbalanced in anything. There's nothing wrong with the video game, I don't suppose, but if that's all you want to do, and it consumes your life, and you have no outside life. All of your friends are game friends. You never have a human contact. Amen. And I don't think that's a healthy thing. Amen. I don't think that's a healthy thing. Amen. And so sometimes it's good to implug. I have known men. Well, I think that's what they are. They're old enough to be. I've known a couple of men that were had families, had children, and they didn't know how to turn off their games. They literally lost their family because all they wanted to do was play games. There's a time to take out the trash. It's okay to play some games sometimes, but not when your family needs you. Not when you need to be working on a job. You know, I'm still convinced that if I'm working on a job, you know, that guy's paying me for my time. And if I'm using my time on the job to do something that doesn't pertain to my job, I could be stealing. Well, I know that's probably old-fashioned, but it's still true. Amen. It's still true, isn't it? So we can, entertainment can become, it can interfere with us, and it can interfere with our worship. Amen. You can get so into entertainment. I know, again, this was something I brought up time past, but let me say it again. Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was one of the greatest evangelists in North America back in the 50s, late 40s, early 50s. And when Billy Sunday would come to town, literally, in many cases, they had to build some kind of a structure because churches were not big enough to get the crowd into. But you know what happened to Billy Sunday's crowds? I'll tell you in one word: television. You see, a lot of people went to hear Billy Sunday because he was entertaining. But when they got another form of entertainment, they just didn't go hear Billy Sunday anymore. Amen. You know, you can get a crowd, but that doesn't always mean people are there for the right reason. So I appreciate people that you can see their dedication. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was a tongues interpretation one time in a service, and you know, you got to be careful about tongues interpretation. The Bible says we need to use some sense, you know, when we hear people say things. And supposedly in the interpretation said, "Thou sayest, thou boughtest thy television to watch news, but yea, I say, thou boughtest thy television to watch Bonanza." Amen. I'm not real sure that was from the Lord, but amen. But we have to be careful with an appetite for entertainment and not let it get away from us. Amen. So so Israel had they had trashy desires, and then they had trashy worship. What do we mean by trashy worship? Well, they wanted to have church their own way. So they invented their own God. And I've known people do that to Jesus. Amen. You know what I find interesting about Jesus? Is that there's not any pictures of him anywhere. I know there's paintings of Jesus, but those are not real. That's just somebody's idea of what he looked like. None of those are genuine. So don't, I've heard people say, well, you know, the pictures of Jesus, they all had long hair. Well, how do we know that? Amen. That's somebody's interpretation. There's no evidence whatsoever that he did. There's a lot more evidence that he didn't. Amen. Jesus was, he was not a Nazarite. I know Nazarites had a vow that they didn't cut their hair. And what made that so unusual was that men did cut their hair. See what I'm saying? If a Nazarite vow, people not cutting their hair, If it was not, and everybody didn't cut their hair, then why would you need to make a vow not to cut your hair? They did. Men got haircuts in Bible times, just like they do today. Jesus did not have a Nazarite vow. He was from Nazareth, so they called him a Nazarene. But he was not a Nazarite. And so he cut his hair. Amen. I don't believe Paul later would have told us that men should cut their hair if Jesus didn't. Amen. But he did. And so we just need to throw that in there, because people invent gods the way they want to invent them, don't they? That people paint Jesus. You know what people in Africa, when they close their eyes and they try to look picture Jesus, you know what they see? They see a black man. And that's a good thing. He wasn't. But, you know, people in the Orient, when they think of Jesus, they probably think of Jesus as an Asian. Amen. When we think of Jesus here, we think of him as an American. Amen. He's all things to all men everywhere. And it's good that we can identify with him. We're supposed to. Amen. Of course, we know he was Middle Eastern. So that's exactly what he looks like. Amen. When we see him, he's going to have those features. Amen. But we can invent God. It's interesting that people invent God in their own image. And that's what happened to Israel. They didn't like God the way he was, so they made one up. Now, I'm not sure how that happened. Aaron said they just threw all this gold in the fire and this golden calf jumped out. Well, I've heard other stories like that too. Amen. So it sounds to me like they just didn't want to own up to responsibility. And I'm sure a golden calf came out, but they may have had a little something to do with helping it take that form. Amen. But nonetheless, they built a god like they wanted, and a god that they could play before. And they did. Amen. When Moses came up on the scene, he heard the music and the shouting and the dancing. And, well, maybe I could say this without being too coarse. But the further people get from God, it seems like the less clothes they want to wear. Because when Moses came on the scene, they'd taken their clothes off. Now, when God saw man naked in the garden after sin, what did he do? He made them garments. Now, there's an interesting word there. Adam and Eve already had a covering on. They made themselves aprons, which means it was a short garment. God made for them garments, which indicates it was a long garment. He did not want them partially covered. He wanted them completely covered. So there's a lesson there, isn't there? If there's one thing that our world today has a difficult time with, it's trashy dress. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, it's out there, isn't it? This world is a trashy dressing place. Amen. The rule, I can give you two rules to help us here tonight, just to know, well, Brother Grissom, how should I dress? Let me give you what the Bible says. Number one, it speaks about modesty. Modesty simply means that you cover up what needs to be covered up. Not only do you cover it up, but you don't make it where it's so tight that it doesn't matter whether it's covered or not. Isn't that a good rule? Okay, so number one is modesty. The second thing the Bible talks about is sex distinction. The Bible says that men should not wear women's apparel and women should not wear men's apparel. To me, this is simple. When I go to the bathroom and I see one with a little stick figure that's got a skirt, I don't go in there. I look for the one that's got pants on it, because that means me. Real simple, isn't it? Well, I'm a simple person. I like it real plain. And so there's a sex distinction. and dress should indicate that. And the third thing is cost. The Bible talks about costly array. Now, let me just say, you don't have to shop at Goodwill unless you want to. You don't have to shop at Walmart unless you want to, or unless that's what's in your budget. I'm not saying that's it. You don't have to buy really cheap clothes. I bought some real cheap clothes that I wish I hadn't bought. I bought some, boy, I'm telling you, I got a deal one time on some jeans. Amen. Boy, I got them buddies home, and I wore them, and when I took them off, my legs still looked like I had them on. I was black from top to bottom. And then I bent over. And that was the end of that. So they were not worth $2. So quality's not a bad thing. If you buy a quality garment, it most of the time will outlast a garment that's not a good quality garment. So I'm not saying that you just have to buy the cheapest thing there is. No. But at the same time, I think I can illustrate it this way. If you're the kind of person that shops at Walmart but puts it in a Macy's bag or a Neiman Marcus bag so people think you bought it there, then you got a problem. Because you are trying to present an image of yourself that is not true. Or if you're the kind of person that only will shop and then boast about what you spend, then you've got a problem. Amen. So then the cost of a garment, it's not that you should just have to buy the cheapest thing, but it's the idea of why you want to pay more. What's your purpose? Why do you want to buy that garment? And so cost comes into it. We see this today, and we are a very label-conscious society for the last few years. Hasn't always been that way, but for the last 30, 40 years, it's been that way. Amen. I remember, you remember when we used to actually had tennis shoes? Amen. And they were made out of canvas with rubber on the bottom. Best I can remember, the most expensive shoes you could buy back then were Converse All-Stars. Man, they were like $10, $12 a pair. They were expensive. They were costly. I couldn't afford them. I wanted them, but I couldn't buy them. My mom and dad, I worked in the summers from the time I was a little boy, doing something, whatever I could do. And when it came to go back to school, my mom and dad would buy me clothes. Now, if I wanted Levi's instead of JCPenney's or Sears, I could get them if I was willing to pay for them. And if I wanted Converse All-Stars instead of the kind I can get in the grocery store for 99 cents, I could have them, but I had to pay for them. I think that's still a good rule. Amen. If you want one that has whatever the brands today are, I'm here and a little out of my league. Amen. But I like K&G personally. I like it especially when they got two or three for one. That's kind of the way I like to shop. But that's just me. Amen. I'd rather buy a $300 or $400 suit for $100 than to buy one for $300 or $400. To me, it just makes better sense. But that's John Grissom. Amen. So clothing, then, those are three rules that'll help you. Number one is aim for modesty. Make sure that people can tell whether you're a man or a woman. And number three is be cost conscious and guard against just paying a lot just so people know you paid a lot. Okay, so I think we basically covered all that, didn't we? Now, how does that affect your worship? Amen. It can it? If you're such a fashion plate that you can't worship the Lord, you got a problem. Amen. You need to wear something you can worship God in. Amen. You need to fix your hair in a way that you can worship the Lord. If it comes down, don't worry about it. Anybody remember shouting your hair down? Amen. That's okay. Don't worry about it. That's fine. So we just don't let pride get in our way of worship. But if we're not careful, we can let things influence our worship. And we can begin to worship God in a way that does not please Him. Amen. That's what Israel did. They really didn't care much about the God that delivered them. So they tried to make Him more like the gods that they were used to wear back in Egypt. Amen. Some people don't want to live in the world. They like the church, but they don't really like the God of the church too much, honestly. Come on now. So they really, really don't like the God of the church. So they interpret Him as being different than He really is. That's trashy worship. When you try to change God to conform to you and your lifestyle, rather than changing your lifestyle to conform to God. And so that's trashy worship. And that's what happened to Israel. And then they had trashy morals. When you have trashy worship and trashy desires, it'll eat away at your morals. And so the next verse we dealt with talks about Israel committing fornication. The word fornication is a word that deals with all forms of sexual sin. All of it. The word is porneia. Our word pornography comes from that word. But it deals with all forms of sexual sin. And that's what Israel got into. Isn't it amazing that in culture, when people get away from God, they fall into more and more immorality and sexual sins? When people get close to God, they leave that behind. When they get away from God, that's what they fall into. And not only do they fall into that, but they want to convert the entire society to be like them. Amen. So instead of teaching about abstinence in our schools, they want to pass out condoms and birth control pills. Because they're just sure that young people can't control themselves. They're just convinced that it's impossible for somebody to stay pure until marriage. God forbid that the church ever get there. Amen. I said, God forbid that the church ever get there. Amen. But if we're not careful, we can. We can get to where we're just, well, they just can't help themselves. Oh, yes, they can. If they're prayed through, if they're living right, they're talking to God, they can. Yes, they can. And they must. It is a Christian imperative that we remain pure. That's not optional, folks. Amen. I think I quoted the other day that from the early 90s up until 2000, the positive portrayal of gays and lesbians increased by 2,400% in that one decade. And now, if you say anything negative about that lifestyle, then you're going to be portrayed as the one that's wacko. You're the homophobe. You're the one that's hateful and mean and narrow-minded and judgmental and divisive. You're the mean people, not them. That's what you're portrayed today. And in Canada, as a matter of fact, it's a crime to name homosexuality as a sin from the pulpit now. And we may not be far behind. Just telling you that trashy desires and trashy worship, it lead to trashy morals. It ought to say something to us that two males or two females cannot reproduce. That ought to say something to folks. There ought to be a message there. God created them male and female for a reason. And then he said, go and populate the earth. But two of the same sex cannot reproduce. It's just a fact. Amen. And so to me, that just ought to answer the question right there. But I suppose, now let me make it very, very plain to you, I don't hate anybody. And if you do, you need to repent and pray through. If you hate somebody just because of their sexual orientation, you need to pray through. You're not supposed to hate folks. I don't care. You're not supposed to hate them. Hello? Brother Grissom, you're really preaching good. Thank you for saying that. It needed saying. I had a man tell me one time, there was a young man that I knew that was dealing with this very issue. And the pastor told me, he said, he can't come to this church. He can't come to this church. We don't allow that kind of thing. Well, they allowed him in the early church. How do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us. It talks about effeminate, abusers of themselves, of mankind, homosexuality. And it said, and such were some of you. That's the whole point, isn't it? We're not going to condone it. Our goal is not to accept the sin. Our goal is to change the sinner. But God can deliver them just as easily as he can deliver an alcoholic. Somebody, I don't know who it was, mentioned this one time that, you know, an alcoholic can talk about his past sins. A drug addict can talk about their past sins. Matter of fact, if they were bad enough, we'll put them in the pulpit and get all excited about their story. But if you ever had a problem with homosexuality, you better not mention it to anybody. You'll be ostracized. Because we can deal with the other part of sin, but we can't deal with that. Hello, Brother Grissom. Boy, you sure are hitting us good here tonight. That's good stuff, brother. I'm talking about Christian maturity. I've had people get mad at me for preaching this very thing. Are we condoning it? No. But don't hate people because they got a sin in their life. Help them to get over it. Help them to pray through. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, that was good whether you liked it or not. That was good stuff. Amen. Trashy more. Boy, we got them, don't we? Trashy more. God, have mercy where we are today. And then, trashy faith. Trashy faith. But verse number 9 said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Trashy faith. You see, when you get trashy morals and trashy worship, it'll affect your faith. And they got to the place that they didn't believe God. God brought them to the border, and he said, now it's time to go over and possess the promised land. What did they say? They said, we can't do it. There's giants over there. They believed the negative report and would not go over. And God sent judgment, and 23,000 of them died. Amen. God help us to, you know, it's an insult to God when we don't believe him. Isn't that an insult to you? When people say, I don't believe you. You tell them something and they say, I don't believe that. What's an insult to God? When God says something and people don't believe what he said, it's an insult to God. And so, trashy faith. Amen. We have to be careful, folks. We need to take out some trash, don't we? Amen. You got some stuff at home you need to get rid of. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. Amen. Have you ever noticed that I promise you one thing. The very most expensive and the nicest house in Athens, Texas has trash cans. On Priceline, I've stayed in some pretty fancy hotels, and I didn't pay high prices. I just know how to do it. Amen. And you know what? Every last one of them had trash cans. I've actually been to palaces over in Europe. I toured a couple of palaces, and guess what? They had trash cans. Amen. The nicest, most beautiful buildings in the world have trash cans. You know why they have trash cans? Because they have trash. And they need a place to put it. Everywhere has trash cans. Amen. Because our society has a problem. Excuse me. Has a problem with trash. We have to deal with that, folks. We have to deal with trash. We're not immune to it. The church has to deal with trash, just like the world does. Amen. Now, I had people tell me when I started this journey over 40 years ago. I had some people tell me back then, it really made it hard for me. They said, after I received the Holy Ghost, I never sinned. Well, I don't believe that you have to sin. I believe it's possible to live without sin. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I never seen anybody yet that didn't. There are sins of the flesh, and there are sins of the spirit. And they're both sins. Self-righteousness is a sin. And I have seen some people that were so proud of their sinlessness that they didn't want to have anything to do with others because they were much more holy. You know what that is? That's pride. And that's arrogance. And the Bible said those are sins that God hates. So we do deal with sin, folks. We deal with trash. You may have never dipped or smoked again or drank a hooch again or said another bad word or told another dirty joke or you may have turned all that around. Amen. And I hope you did, and I pray God you did, and you ought to. And that's got to be your ultimate goal. Amen. And we don't condone people that do it. But at the same time, amen, we have to guard against spiritual sins as well, such as self-righteousness and spiritual arrogance and pride. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. This is true. We have to guard against those things just as well. If you look down on others because they're not as good as you, that's a spiritual sin. If you talk about your brothers and sisters instead of praying for them and helping them, that's a sin. Amen. And so the sin's a lot bigger than just I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those that do. It's a little bit bigger than that. Amen. So we have to deal with that. And all of us struggle because we're still covered with this stuff right here, flesh. You and I deal with it every day. Sometimes it doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do. The Bible said to know what is right to do and not to do it, it said it's sin. You know you ought to pray and you don't pray, what is that? It's a sin, the Bible said. Amen. You know you ought to be in church and you're not in church. You know what that is? It's a sin. You can call it what you want to, but the Bible calls it a sin. Talking about getting rid of trash tonight. Amen. I hope this is not too personal. It's not meant to be. But all of us deal with this trash business, don't we? Amen. Because we're all humans. Amen. We all struggle. Amen. If somebody like Peter could follow at a distance and deny the Lord, have you ever had a time when you were not really as close to the Lord as you knew you ought to be? You were kind of following at a distance. You let some things get between you and him. Shake your head like this. That's what Peter did. That's what Judas did. So we have to be so very careful. We're born What was it, the psalmist said? He said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we have to deal with this old nature. Amen. Now, Paul saved something for the last here that probably gets more of us in trouble than anything else. Listen to this. Verse number 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. You know what? Did you know, and the New King James Version, by the way, doesn't use the word murmur, it uses the word complain. And that's what it means. Anybody complained lately? Woo! Where are you going now, preacher? Amen. And you know what? They got in more trouble for that than anything else. I think it was the one I heard anyway. Brother Elroy Martin taught at youth camp one year, and he taught about the little red devil behind the pearly white gates. That's it right there. Your tongue. Amen. And the tongue probably gets people in more trouble than anything else in the world. As a matter of fact, James said that the man that can control his tongue, he said, that's a perfect man. If you never have offended anybody with anything you've ever said, you're perfect. And you can leave. You may go. Praise the Lord. But that's not going to happen. Because this is the thing that causes us more problems than anything else. Numbers 11:1 said, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God got so angry because of people complaining and murmuring, amen, that he sent fire down and consumed them. Boy, that'd be tough if that happened today, wouldn't it? Listen to what he said here in the psalmist in Psalm 106, talking about the same thing. Psalm 106 verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Everybody say, in their tents. They murmured in their tents. Amen. Praise God. And that's where judgment fell, in their tents. Maybe if they had been in his tent, in his house, maybe they would not have murmured. Amen. But they murmured in their tents. Hey, God's not as concerned about how you talk at church as he is how you talk at home. Right? Did you know that you'll say things at your house you wouldn't say here? Check your head like this. Oh my, brother, listen. Goodness gracious, what are you doing to us tonight? I'm taking out the trash. We're taking out the trash. I know it's hurtful, it's painful. That's what we're trying to do here. Amen. We got to be careful how we talk. Let me say this again. I really hope we can get this. But you and I are the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. So if I say things bad about you, who am I talking about? I'm talking about the bride and the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how you feel when people talk bad about your body, call you fat, son. Some of us have to deal with it. Some of you skinny men don't. Some of us well-favored people, fluffy people, have to deal with stuff like that. And it's hurtful. In Spanish, they call you gordo. Amen. They said, oh, we don't mean anything by that. Yes, you do. You mean I'm fat. That's what you mean. Oh, we don't mean anything. Yeah, you do mean something. Amen. I've heard people say, oh, I hate that justification. Well, I don't mean anything by that. Then why say it? If you know what you're going to say is going to hurt somebody, why? What's the purpose? Amen. If somebody talks bad about your husband or your wife, does that upset you? Even if it's true? I said, even if it's true? Now let me qualify that. If you love your husband or your wife, it will hurt you. Those that don't love their husband or wife jump on the bandwagon. But if you genuinely love your husband or your wife and somebody starts talking about them, even if you know they're false, it hurts you. And when we talk about the body and the bride of Christ, it upsets him. It kindles his anger. Next time you're tempted to talk about your brothers and sisters, huh? You need to think about what I'm saying. Next time you're tempted to talk about your husband or your wife in negative terms, you need to think about what I'm saying. I know this is strong, but it's intended to be. I'm helping us take out some trash here tonight. Amen. You know, we can play games. I'm not into playing games. I want to be a real Christian. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm really trying to be, a real Christian. So I don't want to keep making the same mistakes and justifying that by just saying, well, that's just the way I am. Not good enough. Not good enough. That's not going to bode well at the judgment bar. Well, God, you know how I am. But he said, yeah, but I tried to change you. I gave you my spirit. I gave you my blood. I gave you my name. Amen. Wasn't that enough? I tried to change you. So God, he's about us taking out the trash. Amen. That's what it's here. That's why we're here, to get some stuff straightened out here tonight. Amen. So God doesn't like it when we talk trash. He just doesn't. He didn't like it when Israel complained. Amen. Now, and when you talk about the church, amen, you complain about the church, you complain about the preacher, you complain about the preaching, you complain about the music, and you just complain and complain and complain in your tent, and watch out. That made God really angry. One thing God said he hates is people that cause division in the church. So how do you cause division in the church? By talking negatively against the church. So God hates that. So that we got to take out the trash, folks. Take out the trash. Now let me just say here this here tonight. If somebody is, you know, they kind of got themselves in the habit of doing that, and they always want to say something negative about somebody or about the church, you know what you need to do? You need to say, my ears are not trash cans. Just go ahead and take out your own trash. You want to talk like that? Go talk to somebody else. I just really don't want to hear it. You want to talk about the good and the revival and things God's doing? Let's talk. Amen. You want to talk about how good things God, the great things God's doing? Let's talk. But you want to talk trash? You just take that on out of here. Amen. We don't need trash in the church. Amen. Praise God. Do you know the greatest cure for trash? You know how people get down in trash and get to love trash? You know what really makes people trashy? Is ingratitude. Ingratitude. Unthankfulness. You cannot be trashy and thankful at the same time. Amen. People that are not grateful develop a attitude of entitlement. And they feel like that everything is owed to me. If you have it, I should have it. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to earn it. But I should have it because you have it. That comes from an attitude of unthankfulness. Amen. And we live in a society like that today. People that receive a lot of help but are not thankful for what they receive. They want more. Man, I have a car, but you have a better car, so I should have a better car because you have a better car. And you owe it to me. Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and the last two, unthankful and unholy." He's describing the spirit of the last day, and my, has he nailed it. We live in a society of people that are so very unthankful. Amen. If we're not careful, that can get into the church. Amen. It can get in the church, and we can complain. Amen. Eating heavenly manna, dining angels' food, and we can desire the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers of Egypt. Amen. We're not careful. We're not careful. Amen. And a spirit of ingratitude that gets a hold of a person will destroy them. A person that is filled with ingratitude cannot be happy. Happiness is not possible. It is totally incompatible, amen, with thankfulness. You get that kind of a spirit and you get that kind of an attitude, amen, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, you can never be happy. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Lord, help us tonight not to allow ingratitude in our lives, unthankfulness in our lives. So how do you avoid that? Amen. Well, first of all, you build your life around praise. If you're busy thanking God and praising God, you're not going to get unthankfulness in your heart. Amen. When you wake up singing, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah!" Praise God for saving. You wake up singing like that. Spend your day thanking the Lord. Amen. Ingratitude just cannot come into you. It cannot. Amen. So praise is just, it's a part of it. Examine yourself. Amen. See if there's any ingratitude in your heart. Men, examine yourself. Make sure that it's not there. The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. See if we be in the faith. Amen. That's okay. Amen. Check it out and see if you're really there. Then remind yourself often that God loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Because the Bible tells me so. If you've got to remind yourself that Jesus loves you, Amen. Praise God. Do you ever have a day when you don't feel very lovable or very loved? Amen. Do you ever have a time like that? That's when you need to remind yourself, I don't deserve it, but Jesus loves me. I hadn't done anything to deserve it, but Jesus loves me. Amen. All the glory and all the praise and all the honor belong to Him because Jesus loves you. Remind yourself that the Lord loves you. Amen. Praise God. And if you fail, repent. The Bible said if we confess our sin, God is just and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So you confess your sin. Now you don't have to go to a person to do that. You do that directly to God. Just directly to Him. Amen. Just tell Him. Amen. Confess your sins. Forsake your sins. Amen. And then the Lord will forgive you. The Bible said He would. Brother Grissom, what if I do? If I don't feel forgiven, well, that's okay. You don't have to feel anything. It's a promise, isn't it? Amen. He just said He'd do it. Amen. He didn't. He's not talking about your feelings. You'll get the feeling when you believe He did it. Hello. I said you'll get the feeling when you believe He did it, and begin to praise Him for it. Amen. Praise God. Seek the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost. That's what we got to do. We got to get on fire. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you got to make your mind up that more than anything in this world, I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Now here's the problem. Paul pointed this out to us. He said, don't compare yourself with others. Big mistake. Big mistake. All of us, if we start looking around at other people, we'll find somebody that we think is better than us. And when we do that, we'll feel inferior. And we'll look around and we'll find somebody that thinks we're better than they are. Hello? And then we'll have a little feeling of pride. So he said, don't compare yourself with anybody. He said, you want to compare yourself with somebody? Just line up with Jesus Christ. Amen. Make up your mind. I may not be there yet. Amen. But you remember those little charts you used to put on the door? You know, the kids that stand there every week or so, and you put a little mark on there to make sure, see how much they've grown. You need one of those somewhere in your spiritual growth. And you need to back up and just say, now, Lord, I'm not what I want to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Amen. I've grown a little bit this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to gossip and I didn't. Amen. Praise God. I was tempted to lie and I didn't. Amen. I overcame some things. I grew some this week. And you encourage yourself because every day you're trying to be like Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We need to take out the trash. You know one of the reasons that I like to take out the trash when I was a kid? Amen. Because we had trash barrels. When I wash dishes, I could be sure of one thing. The next day, we'd have to wash dishes again. And if I mop the floor, I could be sure of one thing. I'd have to mop it again. But when I took out the trash, and I burned the trash, I didn't have to ever take that trash out again. Amen. I may take out some more trash. I didn't have to take out that trash. But it was gone. Amen. If you take out the trash and you burn the trash, you deal with it, it'll be gone. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. So, I want to be like the Lord. And so, in order to do that, I have to learn to take out some trash. Anybody need to take out some trash tonight? You know what I'm talking about here? Amen. Maybe while we were preaching, the Lord kind of let you see a few things. You examine. So, well, you know what? You know, there's a few things I could use a little help with here tonight. There's some areas that I need to tighten up. There's some things that I need to change. Amen. Praise God. Amen. A mother was standing in the kitchen. She was getting supper ready. She was cutting up a beautiful salad. Her little son, young son, came in and he said, "Mom," he said, "my friends are going to a movie." And he said, it's a PG movie. They tell me that means profanity guaranteed. I don't know. But she said, well, you know kind of how we feel about that. He said, "I know." He said, "But Mom," he said, "I know it's got a little bit of this and it's got a little bit of that." He said, "But you know, a little bit's not going to hurt me. A little bit won't hurt me." And so she just kept making the salad. Every now and then she'd reach down the trash. She'd pick up some garbage and she'd cut it up and toss it in the salad. She'd get a little more trash and she'd cut it up and throw it in the salad. Mix it in. And he kept watching her do that. Finally he said, "Mom, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm just making a salad." He said, "A little trash won't hurt you, right? A little trash won't hurt you. Amen. Just a little bit." "Well, I don't think I'd want that salad. How about you?" "I might want some potatoes and gravy, but I want your salad. Don't you put trash in it." Amen. And yet, if we're not careful, we can justify ourselves with that same justification. Amen. And so what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying tonight that we need to set our goal on high. Amen. Don't lower your standard. Amen. Don't lower your expectations. Don't cut yourself a lot of slack. Stay strong. And when you confront trash in your life, take it out. Don't cut it up and put it in the salad. Just go ahead and take it on out. "I don't need this. I want this in my life. I don't need this in my home. I don't want this for my family." Just go ahead and take out the trash. Amen. God of heaven, thank you tonight for hearing us and helping us. I pray as we stand here before you that you help us to examine ourselves. While we're standing here, we're standing in the light. And we can see so clearly here. Sometimes when we get away from this place and we get back in our own tents, amen, it can get kind of dark and our judgment can be flawed, especially if we listen to the counsel of others, amen, that have already tend to have trash in their own lives. So God, I'm asking you to help me tonight in the light of the Holy Ghost, in the light of your wisdom and your word and your grace, help me to examine myself right here, right now. Let me make some decisions, some determinations, and help me to get rid of some things that need to be gotten rid of, and determine that I'm going to do better than I did in the past. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to stop things I know that I need to stop. I'm going to start the things I know I need to start. I'm going to do the things I know I need to do. Amen. Help me to take out the trash tonight. Get rid of those things that are unworthy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord.